You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Lord Jesus, I wouldn't be right here. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be right here.
Well, give God the glory.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Yes, sir. I didn't tell you, but I had talked to James earlier, and I said, now, James, Mr. Leland's not going to want you to wear your sunglasses. Then I found out he's legally blind. That's why he was having to hunt the microphone. So I'm telling you, that song's got some real soul. That's the soul of God right there.
I don't know how many years that we... How many children you got, James? Four, five? We did children with those tenor children, I don't know how many years. And then, was it Snyder that you were in a marriage seminar with us, you and your wife? Yeah. You had to meet him at the unit in Snyder. And then the next time I saw him, he showed up in my parole class. Made a lot of changes. God bless you. Yeah. Isn't that good? Yeah. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Psalms 138. And if you can't do that because you don't have a Bible, if you'll lift your hand, we'll get you a Bible. Psalms 138, verse 2. Got any more? Yeah, still got a hand up too. Okay. Got. Yeah, you use John. Johnny's got it memorized, so. Psalms 138:2 says, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. And then, if you are a highlighter or an underliner, I want you to highlight this last phrase. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The only thing that's above God's name, he said, was his word. Notice that's a little W. It's not talking about the word incarnate, Jesus Christ. John said, in the beginning was the Word was with us, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's capital W, that's Christ incarnate. Here he's talking about the Word which was written. Now I want to go to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And here's what God says about his word. He said, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Tonight, the greatest enemy America has is the word of God. If you'll think with me for a moment, everything they've been doing in the past few years has been contrary to the Word of God. In the 60s, they took the Bible and prayer out of our school system. You sure wouldn't want kids to have Bible and prayer, goodness. We need to teach them sex education as if they weren't going to find out. We have been changing the Bible. There's over 200 English translations. And now we've had two already come out. One was the Queen James Bible. Guess who that's going to promote? Yeah. We are living in a time. The first thing Obama did this term was sign an order about hate speech. That you couldn't get up and say anything about somebody else's religion without that being hate speech, and you might serve time for it. Now, let me tell you something. If they ever enforce that, you better put your Bible up. Because it is loaded with hate speech. Read the Ten Commandments. And of all things, sitting at the Supreme Court with the backdrop of the Ten Commandments, we're taking it out of everything. And them guys got it sitting right behind them. We are a brilliant group of people. Man alive. Everything is to tear down God's Word. Notice he said, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now let me tell you something about a sword. A sword is used for one thing. That's warfare. You don't use it to whittle. You don't use it to design things. You don't use it as a tool. You use it for warfare. And he said it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. But it's sharper than that. It will split a hair in two. It's a discerner, the Bible said. That means a discerner. I looked this up in Webster's dictionary, and it said to see or understand the difference. We need to start understanding, and we need to start seeing the difference. The Bible talks about the difference between good and evil, between a lie and the truth, between bad and good. It warns about those things. It talks about them. We've been wanting to change God's Word. We took the Bible out. Why would you do that? Why would you want to take the Bible out of school? Why do you want to take it from your kids? The one thing I'd want my children to do is know that Bible. We've got people talking about global warming. If you read the Bible, you'll find out who controls nature. And it's not mother. It's Father. God Almighty. Every tornado, every earthquake, every tsunami, God's in control, people. But we don't want to hear that. We want to blame it on somebody so we can raise some money to make a job for me to do something. The Ten Commandments are mostly negative. Don't steal. And by the way, you can't find a village. You can't find a clan. You can't find a household that doesn't think that stealing is wrong. How many of you just really love to live with a bunch of thieves? It's all right if you're the only one. Man, don't get my stuff. Stay away from my stuff. Just nature shows up. People who've never had the Bible knows that stealing is wrong. They know adultery is wrong. They know these things that he's talked about is wrong. Nobody approves of that. No other gods before me. And we know that. Back when I was a kid, and yes, I can remember that far. But when I got out of college, I'd basically done three things in my life for any length of time. That was play football, work in the oil field, and rodeo. Now, none of them take a very smart person at all. But you know what we had? And we were considered the wild bunch. I never got, really hurt my feelings one time in a little old hometown where I was raised, because he was talking about some old boy and he said he's too lazy to even rodeo. Man, that's lazy, isn't it? But we were God conscious. Do you know what? At those rodeos, when somebody got up to say the prayer at the beginning of the rodeo, we took our hats off. We weren't Christians. We were going to get drunk after the rodeo. We're going to hit the wild side of town. But we respected that God consciousness. They did the same thing at the football game. And we took our headgears off. We were God conscious. We realized there was a God. Only a fool says there's no God. People know that. You can't look out here and look at a tree and say there's no God. You can't look at a cloud and say there's no God. You can't look at the sun and the moon and the stars and say there's no God. And yet we're teaching in our school, and that's why they wanted the Bible out. We're teaching that man just evolved. And nobody's ever, in the history of mankind, ever caught anybody evolving. Well, look at that. He's about half monkey and half man. Now, I met some folks that... But there's nothing... In fact, when I was a kid, they did call it the theory of evolution. They've changed that now. They just call it evolution. But the truth of the matter is, it's still a theory. They never proved a thing about it. The Bible says that man was born, man was created. What was to be done? They don't want the truth. Don't teach them the truth. We can't have that. Teach evolution. You can't teach that God created. Because see, if there's a creator, then we're responsible to somebody, aren't we? Can't do it. That's, if you creator, that means we're going to give an account. And we don't want to have to face that. Hey, we want it our way. We'll pick and choose what we really want, what we don't want. We don't want the truth about drugs. And now, the Bible talks about drugs and alcohol. The Bible said, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, in West Texas, that means you dumb in a rock. Hey, we know better. Man, and we've got all kind of excuses, haven't we? Yeah. Me and one of my drinking buddies decided one time we'd only drink on days that ended in Y. Be the only time we'd do it. Men begin to honor man. Everything's about man. We got more psychology books. And let me tell you about psychology. It honors man and dishonors God. And the reason that they can't stay side by side is because this book honors God and tells the truth about man, and we don't want that. Somebody asked me one time, said, have you ever thought about running for an office? And I said, I'll not do anything that brings up my past. Boy. I don't mind you lying on me, but don't tell the truth on me. And the Bible will do that. Shop at our local Christian bookstore. And we got books like Become a Better You, Develop the Child Within You, How to Get More Stuff from God. That's what most of those prayer books are. Just simply, hey, you want to know how to get some more stuff from God? Well, here's how you do it. If you do this, and you do this, and you do this, then God's got to give you something. Let me tell you, don't think God's got to. You're going to get a new lesson. Hey, don't ever think you're going to back God in a corner. Your Best Life Now by Joel Osteen. No, the best life now is when Jesus comes and gets me and I go to heaven. Yeah. Hey, I can tell you. But if you don't believe in more Bible than most of them people do, it may be your best life now. I would hate to think that, because that means if it gets worse, guess what? See, eternity hadn't changed. God hasn't changed. Man keeps changing. But nobody's put out the fire. Nobody's air-conditioned hell. Nobody has changed hell or heaven. God said, I change not. Jesus Christ said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me tell you what books you won't find in your Christian bookstore. You won't find books called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Jonathan Edwards preached that sermon years ago, and Jonathan Edwards actually read the sermon. He was a poor speaker. He actually read it in a monotone, and before he could get through, people began weeping and coming down the aisles trusting Christ. Because God anoints this book. This book is going to be here when all the rest of us is gone. And I don't care how many men get a hold of it and how powerful and wealthy they think they are. Christ said His Word would endure forever. And it will still be here, regardless of how many folks try to mess with it. You won't find a book on Is Hell Real? And the bestseller will be How I Died and Went to Heaven and Came Back. I'm going to tell you one thing. You're looking at an old fat man. If I die and go to heaven and God brings me back, I'm going to be madder than a jap. Boy. And people just love that stuff. They just buy that and say, isn't that great? You won't find the book on why did God call homosexuality an abomination. But that's what He called it. Hey, man wants to change God's family. I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 19. We could go to another place. We could go to Genesis, but I want you to look at what Jesus has to say about it. They come to Him, the Pharisees. They were always trying to trick Him, trying to trap Him. I notice people do a lot of that in religious discussions. But Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 said, the Pharisees also came unto Him, tempting Him and saying unto Him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And He answered and said unto them, have you not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Now, right here is a great lesson that will tell you, will interpret Genesis chapter 1 for you. The beginning was when He made them male and female. That was in the first week, 7 days, 24-hour periods. Not eons, not millions of years, not there was God created the world and then there was this big gap theory and all of that stuff. Jesus said He made them at the beginning male and female. Now, He created man on the sixth day. So He made them male. Now notice this. And He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. We're talking male, female, man, woman. And then He told them to multiply and replenish the earth. Now, the Supreme Court is going to rule this year on the marriage thing. What constitutes a marriage? And I'm telling you, we're getting ready to look at some things. Already, Germany has already got bestiality laws that are legal. Next thing we're going to hear is somebody's going to want to marry his Doberman. I'm telling you. Listen, we got a bunch of perverts out there. There are already people that are saying that incest could be very healthy for people. Sex will rule this thing. Pornography has become the number one addiction. It's not drugs and alcohol anymore. You're behind. You need to catch up. It's pornography. Our own chief of police in this town served federal time for child pornography. Once the World Wide Web come in Denmark, child pornography is legal. You are looking at multi-billion dollar industry. And this book will tear down that. This book will get people out of that business. This book will change people's lives. This book will warn people about the things that are to come. Men hate this book. They don't want to. They're going to change marriage. They're going to change and make that which good perverted and that which used to be perverted good. everything's against this book. And if things continue as they are and Jesus tarries, a few months or a few years from now, somebody stands up and reads that God called homosexuality an abomination. That's hate speech. You go to jail for it. Can't get up and talk about things like that. Because we ought to have a right to do what we want to do. See, man wants to tell God what's right and what's not. And we've all done that. We have dug our heels in the dirt. But now it's becoming popular. Used to, we were the crazy folks. We were the wild bunch. Now, the educated people have taken over and really taken us downhill because they could do it smarter. Most of us were just dumb and wild and doing whatever was reckless. And now we've got all this stuff. Don't tell me what to believe. I believe who I want to. I hate this book. But let me say this. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Though most men hate this book, let me tell you who loves it. People that know they're sinners. Sinners will love this book. Because here's what it's saying. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Listen to him now. Be not deceived. Don't con yourself. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. We're getting the whole crowd here. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves. Maybe you got away from everything, but that caught you. Nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers. That's people that just want to go against everything. Nor extortioners. That's people that want to cheat you out of your money. Shall inherit the kingdom of God. He said, you people can't get there. The gay crowd, the effeminate, the adulterers, the thieves, the extortioners. Notice, we're not talking here about murder necessarily. Right? We're talking about things that we have all done, maybe doing. And he said, you can't get in the kingdom of God if you're that. But you know what's good about this Bible? Don't stop reading till God stops teaching. Look at the next verse. Look at that verse. And such were some of you. We're not that anymore. We're not that. Say, well, you once a drunk, always a drunk. You're wrong. I'm sober now. Yeah. I'm not a drunk anymore, baby. Yeah. Yeah. You want me? I see people that are so hurt and whipped because they think they're alive. I've done those things. I'm sorry. I can't get out of this. Am I bound to hell? No, this book tells me how to get to heaven. This book said, I can lift you out of that. This book said, Christ died for your sins. And whatever you've done, doesn't make any difference. I can save you. So I'm sorry, I'm a homosexual. You can be straight because Jesus can do that for you. You don't have to live like that anymore. You don't have to live this way anymore. He said, such were some of you, but you're washed. You are sanctified. But you're justified by the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I thank God that as sorry as I was, Jesus Christ said, you don't have to stay there, Leland. I said, Lord, you don't realize how much I've sinned. I knew better. And you know what he said? Bible said that if thou shalt confess our sins to God, He'll forgive them. Isn't that hard? All you got to do is turn with me to 1 John 1 9. I want you to see this. I want you to mark this. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, keep the one we give you tonight. I want you to have it. 1 John 1 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. Now, you and I are not very faithful. I'm pretty fickle. But He said He is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from most of the unrighteousness. Well, the majority of it. What did He say? All of it. Every bit of it. Why will a world live and take the beating that sin puts on us when all we have to do is stop and say, Lord Jesus, I've sinned against You. And He reaches down and says, come on home. Come on home. You don't have to be a drunk anymore. Don't have to be a drug addict anymore. Don't have to be a fornicator anymore. Don't have to be an adulterer anymore. Don't have to be a thief anymore. Yes, I did all those things. But I'm not that. Say, Jesus came in and changed me. And He changed you. Therefore, many men be in Christ. He's a new creature. The old Leland did all those things. There's a new Leland. Bible said we're a new man because of what Jesus did. Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, well, Leland, I got saved years ago. But I've turned my back on God. And I just quit Him. And then I've done things I'm ashamed of. I've done things I said I'd never do. And all of us have. I'll guarantee you that. What He says is, come unto Me. Come unto Me. All you labor, heavy laden. Aren't you tired of being sick and tired? Come unto Me. All you labor, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. America hates this book. But I'm going to tell you, a sinner will love it. A sinner will love it because I get to go to heaven because of this book. And it's the only place it told me about Jesus Christ. We're trying to do everything to get away from it. I'm going to tell you why. When you see what God will do for you, you'll be wanting another Bible. Get one to carry with me and one to leave at the house. Goodness. What He's got for us. I want you to bow your heads. I want you to bow your heads. Close your eyes for a moment. I want to talk to you just very briefly, very quickly. But just nobody looking around. And you're here tonight, and you've never experienced Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you if you're a church member or if you've been baptized or anything like that. We're not talking that. We're talking about, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The way you'll know that, have you ever asked Him to forgive your sins and save you? Have you? If you've never done that, I want to pray for you tonight that you would do that this very night. But would you just slip up your hand? Say, Leland, I've never done that. I've never done that. God bless you. I see your hands. Just when you put them up, then I recognize you put them back down. Anyone else, real quickly? I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. If I die tonight, according to your Bible, I'd go to hell. Have you done that? Real quickly. Anyone else before we pray? Next thing. This is a twofold invitation. You say, yes, Leland, maybe in prison, maybe in chapel, maybe in jail, maybe in a church somewhere, maybe with grandma. You said, I trusted Jesus Christ. I asked Him to save me, but then I left Him. I quit. I turned my back on Him. I don't think there's any hope for me. I'm telling you, there is. Because he says, come on home. You say, Leland, pray for me. I want that joy that I once had. Would you just lift up your hand? I'm God's child. God bless you. I see your hand. See your hand. I'm God's child. Good. Anyone else? Real quick. I'm God's child. Yes, I see your hand. Now in a moment, Brother Charles is going to sing. On the very first verse, we're going to stand right after I pray. And on the very first verse, those that said, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior, you have no hope because you've never trusted Him. I want you to step out tonight and there'll be somebody here to meet you and will tell you how you can know that you're going to heaven, that you'd have your sins forgiven. Also, those of you that have had your sins forgiven, been saved, there'll be somebody down here can help you and pray with you to get back into the arms of Jesus. That's what we're going to do. Our Father, I pray for those whose hands went up, and I pray for those that their hands should have gone up. And I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would touch each heart, would touch each mind. Because with their mind, they'll learn something, and with their heart, they'll make a commitment. Help them to commit to you. Our Father, may your Son get all the glory in this service. In Christ's name we pray. Just stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed, nobody looking around. As Brother Charles sings, come right now. Softly and tenderly. Come on. Come trust Christ. Come do what God wants you to do. Come right on. That's right. Come here. Come on. Someone else. Let's go. What God wants you to do. Come on. Come home. Come on. Jolene continues to play very softly. Have you done what God wants you to do? Are you being real with God tonight? Oh, Jesus came. The Bible said that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I might have understood it a little bit if he'd said, while we were trying to straighten up and do good, Christ died for it. That's not what he said. While we were sinners, ignoring him, laughing at him, ridiculing him, he died. He paid his debt for us. And tonight, he's given you the opportunity to have heaven as a home and a life here on this earth that's where the heartaches are taken away. I'm going to ask Brother Charles to sing one more verse. No one comes on this when we're through. Just do what God wants you to do right now. Our precious Heavenly Father, thank you for those that came tonight. Give them the peace and the comfort that only you can give. Father, this is a troubled world without you. Now, Father, for those that should have come and didn't, I ask that you would give them another chance. And I know you don't guarantee that. But our prayer is you let them have another chance. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you for meeting with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Refreshment bars open.
His name is wonderful. Jesus.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.